Testament lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we are listening. Thank you, Jody. Would you like a hand down? Okay. She is hands down a good person. I know you heard me say that because my thingy was on here. It's been quite a couple of weeks. We've been talking about the fact that we want to make our faith a fact, that we want our faith to be more than something we feel, but something that we know to be true. Fact. Basing it on the fact that we understand and we know that the tomb is empty. And when our faith becomes fact, it becomes a very real thing in our life that is not manipulated by the circumstances around us or manipulated by how we feel. Because those are the realms that our enemy works on. Our enemy works in that area of how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about the world around us. He works in the realm of circumstance and then speaking to you about those circumstances. And it really has led us to this passage today that we have found ourselves reading from in Ephesians chapter 6. Wanted to say to you, and this is very true. You know, last night we were singing some hymns, and we were singing some hymns out of the hymnal back in the fellowship hall between bites of pie. I'm telling you, that pie was unbelievable. And I ate too much, all right? Nobody has to tell me anymore. I know I ate too much. But between bites of pie, we were singing songs, singing some hymns. And one of the songs that we wanted to sing, I think Gary chose it, was Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War. Do you know that in the new hymnal that the denomination has put out in the last 4 years or so, that song is not in there, I found, because it's too offensive. Wow. Yeah, that's my reaction too. Everybody's going, you're kidding me, right? Yeah. Or they changed the words, something like that. That's something. You know, I just don't understand that. And so, you know, because we don't like to talk about, I understand. I understand that it's a hard thing to talk about, and nobody really likes to talk about war. It's a terrible thing. But we are in a spiritual war. I don't think there's any doubt about it. We didn't choose it. We didn't ask for it. But it came upon you and me when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. When we accepted Christ into our life, It came upon us. It was even going on before you knew him, but accelerated when you came to him and are growing in him. It is a fact. And it's true. It's true. And so today, we are going to spend a few moments and look through the Word about this idea that that we are in this spiritual place of spiritual warfare. It is upon us. You know, I would say to you again, I heard the speaker at a seminar a couple of weeks ago. It was an all-day seminar on Saturday. He talked about the fact that God has put us in an arranged marriage. Okay? For him, he said, and I'm with him. Well, you folks know that I sing Barbershop. You know why I sing Barbershop? Because it's old songs. Love those old songs, you know? Chattanooga Choo Choo, stuff like that. Love those old songs. Great stuff. But, you know, you could say, and I feel like I'm a person born out of time, really. I think I'm a little bit old-fashioned and kind of born out of time. I am definitely not with it. Okay? My children will definitely tell you that. But I am not with it. I try to understand the current age, but I heard this speaker speak about it, and he said he felt the same way. He said he felt like that he was in an arranged marriage, that he was born out of time, and that God arranged for him and for me to be in this time right now. Now, I have a couple of options when it comes to that and when it comes to ministry. I could say, well, you know, I'm really born out of time, so I'm going to think like we thought back in the 50s, and that's not going to work. Of course, that was before I was born, actually. But, you know, when I was young, or when I first entered ministry back in the 80s, you know, things are very different now, very different. So I could just sit back and complain, or I can say, Lord, how do you want me to use the gifts that you've called me for? It's not an accident, and it's not, you know, you didn't do a mistake by calling me here at this time. I think you called me here because you have a purpose for me, for you and me, in this setting and in this time. The old song, it's an old chorus now, for such a time as this, you know, an old song. God's called you and me for this time, for this purpose. But we are living in a time of great spiritual warfare, and I believe it. I believe that we have a spiritual enemy who has nothing else in his mind but destruction of your spiritual life. And he will do everything possible to make that happen. That's why we read from Ephesians chapter 6. Now hear from 1 Peter. If you have your Bibles, you'll want to go there. 1 Peter chapter 5. And again, I would encourage you to bring your Bibles. You know, we've kind of gotten away from that. Of course, the Bibles are in front of you. But if you have your own Bible, you can write in it as the Lord kind of inspires you to write on the edges. I have my grandmother's Bible and my mother's Bible sitting up here on the pulpit, and they're going to remain there for a while because I need to be reminded, just preach the Word. Dad says, you know, do what you want to do as a pastor, but preach the Word. If you don't preach the Word, I'm going to haunt you or something, you know. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, begin to read at verse 6. Listen to these words. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Isn't that a neat scripture? Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. and the God of all grace, who called you to this eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful scripture. So, number one, we need to realize that the war is real. It's real. Verses 10 and 11 of Ephesians chapter 6 bring that to mind very clearly. Listen to what Ephesians 6 verses 10 and 11 say. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know, one thing I liked about Paul is in this passage, he used the word stand a lot. Stand. It's really kind of a very strong word, especially how he's using it in this context. He is saying, stand firm in the faith. Don't let anything or anyone shake you. Because the war is real. We are not standing on the sidelines. We're not looking somewhere else and saying, oh, look at that, all that commotion going. 1 Peter and Ephesians both tell us here, especially 1 Peter, that there is an enemy. He is after you and me, and he does not want you to succeed as a Christian. He doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want you to know the Lord in a very deep way. He doesn't want that. And when we have a kind of a faith that is, oh, you know, kind of goes with the flow, or a faith that goes up and down, kind of blown around by all kinds of situations in our lives, when it's, you know, we're up one day and down the next. When we have that kind of relationship, our enemy works very hard at getting at you and me. He really does. But when our faith is firmly planted and we are standing on the rock, there is nothing he can do. And you, and I've said it before, you and I become a threat to the enemy. Stand firm. The war is real. That's not even my terminology. You might say, well, war is kind of a strong word, Pastor, isn't it? It is. And some of you folks have been through it, so you know. But I'm telling you, that's how the Scripture talks about it. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God. He wouldn't say, put on the full armor of God so you can play a game of chess. You wouldn't need it. My dad got pretty violent, though, when I played chess against him, so I might have needed it when I was in high school, because I started beating him eventually. It was a bad thing. It was a bad thing. Dad would be over there frowning and, you know, mumbling under his breath, stupid kid, you know. Anyway, no, you know, he doesn't call us because we're playing tiddlywinks. And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul doesn't say, you know, put on these things because you might need them. He told the Ephesian church to do it. The war requires a real faith, a faith that stands on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, again, go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, and hear what these words say. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Jesus is coming to the end of the Sermon on the Mount here. And he is making some final instruction to his disciples and to those that are listening. And hear what he says here. Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. See, again, Jesus there didn't say that the rain would never come. Jesus didn't say that the winds would never blow. They're constantly raining. They're constantly blowing. Then he says in verse 26, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." So where is your foundation? Where is my foundation? Where are we standing? If we're standing firm on the rock of Jesus Christ, knowing that the tomb is empty, knowing that by faith we believe and certainly know that the Spirit of God is living within us, if we have that within us, then we have the victory over the enemy. The war is real. The war is real. Secondly, the war is not against people. The war is not against people. Verse 12 says it here in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Hear what it says. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." It's not against governments or authorities. It is a spiritual war. It is a real war. A real war. If, again, you have your Bibles, go back one book. Don't you love flipping all over the place? I do. I think it's great. 19 through 21 of chapter 5. Hear these words. "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Wow. So the things that he's listing there, most of them are not about people, but about situations and about kind of attitudes that we have. It's not the people that are rotten. It's the attitudes that come from it. Satan will work by people lying, people backbiting, causing dissension in your family, causing dissension in the life of the church, and it all comes from him. It's not the people. It's not the people. The enemy will tell you and me lies also. The enemy will lie to you. He will tell you nobody cares about you. The enemy will tell you you're not good enough. The enemy will tell you these people don't like you. The enemy will tell you your plans will never succeed. The enemy will tell you over and over again. And again, this is not about people. This is about a spiritual force, very real, who will come into your heart and into your mind, and he will make you think these things. You're not strong enough. You're not good enough. God is against you. God doesn't see you. God doesn't like you. God doesn't love you. God is not with you. See what all these bad things are happening to your family. See what's going on. You see, you're not a very good parent. I get all of this stuff. Just like you. But I stand firm. And I say, Satan, you're losing. You need to keep your mouth. You're doing this. You need to do this. Okay? Because you're not going to influence me. I remind him constantly that he's losing. I remind him constantly that there's a day coming for him where he will be cast into his own sea and lake of fire. Scripture tells us he will be cast into a lake of fire forever and ever. You lose in the end, pal. You're done. Leave me alone. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 there, he said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Jesus did it when he was tempted in the wilderness. When he was tempted, he always came back with the truth and with facts. And I love that. Lastly, the war requires that we stand ready. Boy, say war requires three times fast. That's tough. It does. It requires that we stand ready. The word is histemi. This word for stand in verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Stand. I love how he says that though. I love how he uses this word stand. He just says it over and over and over again. Ephesians 6 and verse 13 says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand your ground, and after you've done everything, stand. It's almost as if he's telling you to stand. To stand, and to stand firm. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place. And we'll be hearing about them in the weeks to come. Stand. Stand. Because your enemy is going to keep coming. No matter what. He's going to keep coming. Be ready. Be ready. Because Satan will have his way with you. He will discourage you. He will bring people into your life who will have terrible attitudes. And again, it's not the people. It's the attitudes that are being manipulated by him behind the scenes. And he will bring people into your life to disturb you, to do everything to destroy you. That's his goal. What is the antidote to that? Paul just said it. The word is stand. Stand. I love the old Rocky movies, don't you? Boy, he was just getting the snot beat out of him. And he would just, you know, waver around. Of course, it's kind of true, but it's not true. Wasn't it Rocky Marciano or something that was about loosely tied to? Remember Rocky Marciano? You older folks, older than me, sorry. I mean, well, he'd get hammered, you know, and he'd just keep coming back. So that's the way it is. You see, the enemy is working awful hard to get you. And I don't want to paint this picture like, you know, the devil's going to get you. But he is working hard. He is working hard. And he is working his hardest to discourage you in your faith. So stand ready to defend yourself against Satan's schemes. He's real. There's a popular movement today, and I'm sure that the enemy really loves it. The popular movement is to say, oh, there is no devil. You know, you've heard it. There's no devil. There are lots of preachers who are out there saying, there's no devil. I don't know where they're getting that from, because it's in Scripture, and we've been reading it here this morning. So I don't know where they're getting it from. But that's what they say. Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, God loves everybody. Of course he does. But you have an enemy, and I have an enemy that wants to defeat us. I've told you before, I come into this sanctuary many times. I'll pray about my own relationship with the Lord, and I'll say, Heavenly Father, help me to stand. Give me the strength to stand. And I'll pray for you. I've never told you this, but I sort of know where you sit. You know, sort of. And so if I know you're going through a tough time, I'll come to that space and I'll sit. You guys used to sit in the back more, but now you're up front because mom's with you. But yeah, I mean, But I go to the place where I think you sit, and I just sort of stand there, or I'll go into the pew, and I'll pray for you. Because we need that these days. Pray for each other that we can stand. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Lord, we thank you for that truth. And it is truth. It's simply truth. We ask that you would bless us, Lord, as we stand for you and stand with you. May we have the strength to defeat all of the fiery darts of the devil. We'll give you thanks for everything you do. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. The people of God said, Amen.